Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the But Daddy Why podcast. Look, we understand the rapid-fire questioning that parents battle all day, every day, especially that one constant, repetitive question, why? We take the hard questions and do the research for you so that you have the ammo to reply when the kids reach the ultimate pinnacle of But Daddy Why. My name is Pat Jacobs.
And I'm Eric Benyon.
Sit back and enjoy the show.
All right. Well, it feels like we've already done this, like deja vu, right?
It sure does. This is so strange. It's like thunder rolling. It just kind of keeps going and going and going. It's what this episode or topic feels like.
I did exactly zero research this week.
Yeah, so if anybody isn't sure what we're talking about, you have to listen to our, dare I say, 13th episode.
I like the pause there. I like the pause. Dare I say.
Yeah, I'm just so scared. Because ultimately, long story short, we had to re-record the episode because the program that we were using didn't record it. And then the way that we re-recorded it didn't work. So we had to re-record it. And then that finally worked. So we skipped the topic that we wanted to do that week. And now you get it this week. So take a listen.
So we're ready.
We are so ready. We know all that we're talking about here. At this point, we're experts. We always say we're not experts. This time, we're experts.
What kind of experts? And we did learn from our lesson. I think part of that may have been the mocking of number 13,
yes.
Which we're not
going to do.
But also, we were really late on the Thundercats references. So I think we're going to have to lay that on a little thicker.
Absolutely, as it should be, as it should have been. So.
Right.
All right.
So this episode brought to you by the Thundercats.
Yes.
And Snarf.
Snarf.
Hey, Snarf. All right. This is awful.
Yep.
Okay. So if you're still listening, point,
number one, thank you.
We're going to talk about thunder. So the question that we're answering this week is, why does it thunder? It's a good question because I have a 10 and almost 12-year-old, and the almost 12-year-old, the other, like, now it's 2 weeks ago, but we had quite a thunderstorm, and he had a bad dream. That's the air quotes. A bad dream that just coincided with a really loud clap of thunder, and it woke me up, and when I'm asleep, I mean, I've woken up with kids' feet in my face and not realizing how that occurred. So this was a pretty loud bit of thunder,
yeah.
And so it can be scary, and you're gonna get the question of like, why does it thunder? What's going on? What's the deal? So it's a good question to answer, and there's a lot of rich stories that can go along with it, and it's timely because, you know.
Yep, we're headed right into thunderstorm season, and I've always loved thunderstorms, man. I think they're just awesome. I love the power of them, and I absolutely dig them. So yeah.
Well, and here in Chicago, we get to see some really because there's no mountains hiding. I mean, they put on quite a show.
All right, so thunder. So let's start off like we usually do, talking about the facts, right? So thunder is the sound produced by lightning, and it can range from a sharp, loud crack to a long, low, rolling rumble. Those are the ones I like, by the way, in case anybody wanted to know. The first recorded theory is attributed to the Greek philosopher Aristotle in the 4th century BC, and an early speculation, I think we're going to talk more about this later, was that it was caused by the collision of clouds. So clouds just colliding right into each other, and that was the cause of thunder. In the 20th century, a consensus evolved that thunder must begin with a sudden increase in pressure and temperature from lightning, which produces rapid expansion of the air surrounding the path of a lightning bolt. So to get real technical now, a lightning bolt can be up to 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So it suddenly heats the air to as much as 18,000 degrees, and that air next to the bolt explodes out and eventually cools and races back in to some degree. Now that heating causes a rapid outward expansion, impacting the surrounding cooler air at a speed faster than sound would otherwise travel. And that resultant outward moving pulse is a shock wave, similar to the shock wave formed by an explosion or a sonic boom. So that's the technical aspect of it.
Now, we start out talking about the lightning, right? And just to give an idea of the immense force that this is, 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit, that is three times hotter than the surface of the sun.
Yeah.
Right? So, now, it's the bolt, obviously, is relatively small. So, it's, you know, it's not dangerous to see one, like, we're all going to burn. It's not like that, but it's just worthwhile making note of the fact that this is an incredible amount of heat. And if you're rapidly generating that kind of heat, something's going to happen. It's going to cause all sorts of reaction. And so you have to give credit to Aristotle, too, because he wasn't that far off. Now, it wasn't two clouds hitting each other, but it is air rapidly expanding and then filling that space back in, right? What happens is a collision, and then we get to hear the result of it. So we're giving the actual answer right here, but growing up, the theories that we got were very much less scientific, even less scientific than Aristotle's, which my grandmother told me was the angels bowling.
That's great. I love that.
Which, you know, my grandma took me bowling. I knew it was loud when the ball rolled and the pins fell down. I mean,
And as a little kid, that's just an awesome picture in your head to you know, be thinking of during a thunderstorm. And it can be very disarming as well. So it was nice that she was, you know, not trying to scare you with it, with, you know, people riding chariots and throwing things like lightning bolts.
Oh, but we're...
Yes, we are.
We're going to get there.
Seems like I've already heard this.
Don't worry. We're going to... We're going to put the fear of the gods in you. So I have my story of my grandma telling me that it was the angels bowling. Well, we haven't always been so nice with the stories. So we'll start number one with Thor. Thor's the thunder god. Thor is always portrayed as a large man. Red hair, red beard, flowing hair, enjoys food, and he's the one that's often, like, when they describe his eyes, like lightning crackling in his eyes. So given this ferocious image that he has, he's actually the most popular of the gods. Probably a large reason for that is he didn't require human sacrifice.
Right.
You know, if you don't have to offer your daughters and sons and whatever to appease his bloodlust, you know, hey, this guy's not too shabby. Because of this, he was often more popular even than Odin, right? So, like, more people, like, if you were to walk on the street today and say, hey, who's the most famous god? Or who's the Norse god that you know? Even though we've all watched the Avengers and whatnot, most people are like, oh, yeah, I know Thor. There was at one point a grand temple to this is going to be awful. I'm going to murder this name.
Beautiful.
So we'll try this. This is not where you come for learning how to pronounce.
One of our favorite things to do is murder names and words and terms.
Mm-hmm. And we somehow find words in other languages that just yep. are the worst.
Yep. For example, go ahead.
For example, I'm going to assume this is mm-hmm. Uppsala, whatever it is. That's one of the temples where they had a relief of him and showed Odin at his right side. This came from an account of a Christian missionary whose name was Adam of Bremen. When he was writing about this temple, which no longer exists, he said, "Thor, they say, presides over the air. He governs the thunder and lightning, the winds and rains, fair weather and crops. If plague and famine threaten, a libation is poured to the idol of Thor." And so what they believed is that when there was a thunderstorm, this was Thor riding through the heavens on his chariot, which is pulled by goats. He has two goats, and if you thought Uppsala was an awful name to pronounce...
Here comes
right. more, because these goats have names. No. And they're not Bob and Jim.
Why would they be? Doesn't make for good podcasting.
They actually have, like, their names mean something, and even the name that they chose is just awesome. So anyway, the goat's name, the first one is named Tangrisini, and that means the gap mm-hmm. tooth. And the other one was named Tanganost, I don't know, ish, something like that. And it's Tanngnost. I mean, there's like four wow. consonants in a row
right.
that don't go in a row.
Great.
Anyway, so Tanganost, whatever. That name means the tooth grinder. The thunder were their hooves rolling through the sky. Now, lightning flashed whenever he threw his hammer Mjolnir. That one I know because mm-hmm. I've heard it pronounced. And Mjolnir actually means something other than a really weird name for a hammer. The name means that which smashes. So Thor is this big, powerful character. The story of Thor is he has all the strength. He's the defender of mortals, the defender of the realm of the gods. And every single story of Thor kind of goes like either Thor got bored and decides he needs to hit somebody in the head, or... I can think of like four stories where part of what happens in it is he has to hit somebody in the head with a
That's
hammer.
That's great. I'm thinking like Maxwell Silverhammer and, you know.
Yeah. As long as you don't mess with him, his family, or the mortals he's protecting.
He won't bonk you on the head.
You're good to go. You won't get bonked on. Or if you happen to be a giant, you might be getting bonked on the head. I think that's about all we need to cover on Thor. But just, he's a guy that likes to bonk people with his hammer.
And riding around the heavens on his chariot being pulled by goats, which I guess I would always assumed it would be, you know, monster, scary, you know, horses, huge, huge horses and not goats, but okay.
Yeah. That's not how the Norse gods do it. You have Freyja whose chariot is pulled by cats.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Easter Bunny a couple of episodes ago, and Oestra's chariot is pulled mm-hmm. by rabbits.
Rabbits.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that Odin's has a chariot pulled by horses or anything, but he does have he does ride mm-hmm. a horse. And I want to say the name of the horse is Sleipnir. I could be wrong on the name there because I don't have it in front of me. But his horse is an eight-legged horse, so it's kind of like a horse spider.
Okay. My worst nightmare.
You're
going
to love
right
that.
There. Monster horse spider. Great. Awesome.
Wait, yeah. Did you say horse spider?
Thunder. The thunder's probably going to keep me up tonight.
Yeah. Thunder is a great big horse spider.
Well, Daddy, why is there thunder? Well, kid, listen.
Let me tell you about the horse spider.
Trust me, you just want to ignore the thunder and go to sleep, because if I tell you about the horse spider, you're not going to like it.
Right. It's best that you just go to sleep and pretend it doesn't exist. I'm doing this for your own good. All right, so there's Thor and his hammer. So now on to Greek mythology. And Greek mythology is, like, this is just an awful story. Like, this is, like, if we want an example of the worst fatherhood story of all.
Yeah.
This one is it. So Zeus's story starts out with Cronos or Saturn, depending, you know, if Roman mythology was Saturn, Greek mythology, it's Cronos. And Cronos is the king of the Titans. So it's prophesied that one of his children is going to overthrow him. So he does what any, you know, apparently normal Titan would do. My kids are going to overthrow me. As they are born, I'll have them brought to me, and I will swallow them whole. I mean,
yep, makes perfect sense. Perfect sense.
So you have five gods that get swallowed, or gods or goddesses that get swallowed by Cronos. He swallows Hera, Hestia, Poseidon, Hades, and I'm missing somebody. Probably was Demeter. I could be wrong on that. He swallows five of them. And then Zeus is born. So Zeus is the youngest of these children. Now, Rhea, Cronos' wife, is like, at this point, like, I'm doing a lot of work here, having the babies and whatnot, and I just cannot have my husband swallow another one of our children.
Yeah. It's the worst.
He doesn't understand what his job here is. Like,
right.
This isn't a McDonald's drive-thru here.
Right. Bring me some towels, some hot water. Like, stop swallowing the baby's whole.
So what she does, she goes off to Crete. She has Zeus on Crete, and when it's time for her to go take him, present him to Cronos, she gets a big rock and swaddles it. Leaves Zeus with her maids to be taken care of. Rhea takes Zeus, takes the rock, presents it to Cronos. Cronos picks it up, doesn't even think about it, opens his mouth, drops it down the gullet, swallows the stone.
Not the smartest.
Well, I mean, you know, if you're eating stuff that fast, I mean, I'll be honest, there have been a handful of times when I have been having a bratwurst, and I don't remember starting or finishing it. I just remember that I had two or three, and now I have zero.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I do that with Smarties. I have two or three, and then all of a sudden the bag is empty.
Yeah.
And I mean the bag.
Not the rolls, the bag.
Not the roll, the bag.
There you go.
I'm just like Cronos.
It's not that we don't understand it. So,
right.
And so this is kind of the beginning of the story now. So obviously Zeus does not like his dad. Doesn't he grow up thinking, oh, my dad's a good guy, because he's being told constantly, stay away from your dad, he will eat you. So Zeus is staying away from his dad, rightfully so. Eventually, Zeus becomes really, really strong. He's technically a Titan by birth, because his father and mother are both Titans, and his destiny is to overthrow his father. So when he gets strong, he goes and there's a couple different ways that they say it happened, whether he was helped from another Titan whose name is Metis, or whether he just did it himself, causes Cronos to vomit up his children. So his brothers and sisters pop out of Cronos, and they get together, and Cronos now is extremely concerned, because before he had all the children contained. Now it seems like this prophecy is actually going to be fulfilled. So Cronos has not been a good dude in general. There are these creatures that he's treated very poorly, the Cyclops, the hundred-handed ones, the hundred-eyed ones, they get together and they build weapons for the Olympians, and the most powerful weapon, the lightning bolt, is given to Zeus, and Zeus uses it to wage war against the Titans, overthrowing the Titans ultimately and sending them to Tartarus, and they become the new rulers. And upon doing this, they are given the three brothers, because men are more important than women, apparently, throughout history. The three brothers are given the chance to determine what realms they're going to be the masters of. And they say, well, you did get us out of Dad, and you did lead the army, so we'll let you roll first. So they cast lots. Zeus wins the cast, gets to pick first, so he picks the sky, so he becomes the god of the sky and thunder and lightning and storms and everything else. Poseidon wins is next to choose, so he chooses the sea. And then that leaves Hades stuck with the underworld, and that is why he is just a cranky SOE, because not only did he get eaten by his dad, he got left the underworld, so things don't go well for him. Anyway, that's how Zeus becomes god of the sky. He's top dog, king of everything, and that's why you always see him in his usual pose with the lightning ready to strike. It kind of gives you that idea that you needed to fear him. I mean, it's similar to Thor, because his big weapon is what caused the lightning. His hammer, when he throws it, causes lightning. Zeus actually holds lightning and causes it, so you didn't want to cross them. It was important to, if they were not happy, to appease them and whatnot. And those are the stories. So that's where that Thunder and Lightning come from. Not quite as cool as the Thundercats, but
no. But still, you know, gods riding around in chariots led by goats and throwing bolts of lightning and
getting undevoured by their dad,
tricking their. Yep. Yep, that's some crazy stuff. The mythology is...
It's weird.
Pretty crazy. Some good stuff.
Mythology gets a little weird.
Fun fact. So that's the deep history. So now let's hit our fun facts here. So you can tell how far lightning is from you by counting as soon as you see the flash. So if you do the old 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000, and so on, every 5 seconds is a mile of distance. So, excuse me. Every 5 seconds is a mile of distance. So if you count to five before hearing thunder, the lightning is 1 mile away. If you count to 10, the lightning is 2 miles away. So it's an easy way to figure out the distance, right? Obviously, then, if you see a flash and hear an immediate boom, it was right on top of you. That's not good.
Be indoors.
That's not good. Another one, speaking of the fast, a lightning bolt takes only a few thousandths of a second to split through the air.
Pretty fast.
For something that intensely hot and producing what it produces, that's crazy.
Extremely destructive, extremely powerful, and it's no wonder that the stories, you know, have an element of fear involved in them, because how would you explain this?
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. Now that we've talked about that stuff, let's talk about Thunder Snow. And hopefully people have seen the video of the meteorologist during the big snowstorm that is freaking out because he's finally catching Thunder Snow on film or on video, whatever it is that they're using. And if you haven't seen it, look it up. Look up Thunder Snow meteorologist or something. It's pretty funny, guys. Totally
almost
freaking out.
Almost as good as the double rainbow.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Almost as good. So Thunder Snow. Now the thunder from a typical thunderstorm can be heard many miles away. While the thunder from Thundersnow can usually only be heard within a 2 to 3 mile radius from the lightning. Now, this does not happen very often at all. In the United States, March is the peak month of formation, so we just missed it. And on average, only 6.3 events are reported per year. It's not a lot.
Given all the thunderstorms you're going to see this year, not a good chance of seeing thunder snow. And March is not a not a good month for snow in general. I mean, granted, we got more snow than we wanted last March for sure. But
we are in Chicago.
Go home, Chicago. You're drunk.
Yep. So that's all that I have for the fun facts.
And those are pretty fun facts.
Yeah.
We had thunder snow. We had the speed. I like the facts.
How to measure the distance.
And
what more could you want?
Just the Thundercats.
Mm-hmm. Cue Thundercat sound right now.
Thunder! Thunder! Thunder!
All right, so bottom line.
Bottom line.
All right, so the bottom line, and we covered right at the beginning, is thunder is just simply the natural phenomenon, which all the way back to Aristotle, and people were starting to get it right. It's the rapid heating of air around the column created by a lightning bolt. The air heats up and expands really quick, and then cools down, colliding against itself and creating that loud noise. And it happens. You know, everything's a little darker because it's a thunderstorm. Skies are grayer. There's less light, and then there's this intense lightning bolt, which, you know, looks exciting, but then if you see one strike and it start a fire or something, it could be really scary. So we ended up creating a lot of fantastical stories, not the least of which was angels bowling in heaven. So lots of stories about it. It's really just a story about a 50,000 degree Fahrenheit bolt of electricity shooting through a cloud, creating rapid expansion of heated air, and then equally quick contraction of cooling air, creating a really loud sound, which wakes our children up and sends them into our beds at night, even apparently to the age of 12 years old.
Yep. It's understandable, man. It's a crazy, crazy sound. And then once you explain it, it's just hot awesomeness.
Absolutely. Which I still think I'm going to default first to the eight-legged spider horse.
Yeah. Trust me, you don't want to know what this is, kid. You don't want to know. You just want to go back to sleep and ignore it.
Eight-legged spider horse.
I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Pet's up for the rest of the night. Tomorrow he might try again. We might be able to get spiders out of him.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Butt Daddy Why Podcast. If you've got a question you'd like us to answer, head on over to the Twitters, and you can find us at ButtDaddyY. You can also locate us on Facebook, and you can also check us out now on ButtDaddyY.com. You can also find us on iTunes, so go there and subscribe to the podcast, rate us, and leave us a little review. That'd be fantastic. We'd really appreciate that.